jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, James Comey screwed us up again. Yep, he screwed us up again because I had a plan laid out to what I was going to do here today. I threatened you or warned you, whatever word you want to use, that we were going to get into the Southern Poverty Law Center and the American Civil Liberties Union and the Tides Foundation and all these communist, God-hating groups that are running plays. I'm still going to do that, by the way. They're all out there running plays. And, of course, we're not doing anything. Hang on, my computer's talking to me. No, I don't want to restart my computer. So I'm going to push it off maybe another day. But I just got some stuff to get to today I think is germane. I want to talk a little bit about Comey, although, again, the same thing, draining the swamp. I will say this. I think President Trump is probably more in danger now than he's been. And I just believe that. I believe James Comey was, as Donald Trump was the bouncer, the bar at the White House, I think James Comey was the bouncer in the criminal aspect of it. I believe he's the guy who stood in the door and blocked all the investigations. And when he was taken down yesterday, somebody said, well, the draining of the swamp has begun. Well, yeah, and that's a big plug that just got pulled. And there are a lot of people who didn't sleep very well last night because they understand the significance of what's going on. You can see the hypocrisy in everything that you look at. And we know this, don't we? That anybody with any common sense sitting out here watching what's going on over the last 18 months knows that the FBI is out to lunch. I mean, it's been so politicized. And we just saw that a year ago, Chuck Schumer himself said he'd lost confidence in James Comey and was calling for the resignation of Comey. Now, see, that's a great question to me. Why didn't Comey just resign? Why didn't he just resign, say, I've had enough of it, been compromised? Why didn't he just resign? See, there's so much going on behind the scenes that we don't understand. I'm going to show you a little bit of that here today. I've got a lot of things to pound at you today, okay? This is going to kind of be a pop potpourri day or pop pourri, however you would use it. We'll show you a little bit of everything that hopefully is going to connect some dots. It's going to tie it all together. And appreciate you being out there with us. I posted on Facebook today. Listen, folks, if you're within 100 miles of Columbus, Ohio, and you don't come to this event with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar on May 19th, 20th, and 21st, Jared, I don't know if you can throw that. I put it on my Facebook page, Jared. I don't know if you can throw that picture of the Newark, Ohio earthworks again. If you can throw that up there, the people who are watching the video. Listen, this is like something that most people will never get the opportunity to do. I want to show you this, and then I'm going to move forward with it. When Jared gets it up there, let's pop it up on the screen. I think it's there, Jared. Let me see, Ben. There it is. There's that picture we've shown so many times. And if you people can see this, a lot of you are listening and you can't see it. So this is a picture of, well, here in Ohio, right where I live in my hometown, Licking County, Ohio, we've had these earthworks that have been here for, they've been here forever, right? We've been told all throughout my life that they are mound builders. They were built by the Hopewell Indians. That's what they wanted us to believe, the Hopewell Indians. And it's just not true. And we have right here where we're going to hold our conference this, on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. What you are looking at right now on your screen is an illumination of the Newark, Ohio earthworks. Now, the space, you can't tell this, the space between this thing spans probably 2 miles, I'm guessing. You see the circular mound, and then you see the octagon mounds. They are all together. And I'm going to tell you something. Rarely Would you ever get the opportunity to go to a place like this with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar? They're going to take us there. We're going to be there Sunday morning, and they're going to explain exactly what happened there. Folks, listen. These mounds, there's a series of mounds all throughout Ohio, actually all throughout the Midwest, that now we're coming to understand that something beyond what we have ever been taught happened here. It happened right here at the Newark, Ohio Earthworks, okay? Something big. Even today, even on the winter solstice and the spring, what do they call that? The spring equinox, all those times, they still have pagan ceremonies at this site. And when you come, you're not going to see the moon like that, but you're going to see, I'm just telling you, May 19, 20, and 21. The 21st is when we're going to go on Sunday morning to these mounds. So I think it's pretty important. It's $29. We have a lot of expenses with it. I'm not going to apologize for charging $29. A lot of expenses involved with it. Love for you to be able to get here. If there's any way you can, I promise you, you're not going to regret it. Okay, cool. Want to touch bases on another thing. I just free thought here, right? It's where I operate. Hang in there with us. Does somebody want to say something? I hear somebody. I feel like they're trying to tap in. Okay, doesn't matter. Hey, Jared, which one is it I want you to see? Oh my goodness. Oh, I had it all lined up. Oh, Jared, it says you have received this YouTube. Folks, I'm going to show this really short video, and then I'm going to have a little bit of a monologue afterwards to try to explain something that's going on. You remember a couple weeks ago, week ago, 10 days ago, showed you the video of the young man who went out and got in the argument with the principal at the local school. You guys remember that, don't you? That thing went viral. Well, he produced another short video here today, and I have a hard time remembering his name. I'm sorry why I cannot remember his name. So I apologize to him. Well, he created another. This is a minute and a half video. And again, it's on abortion. And hey, I know some of you get sick and tired of hearing about it, but I'm not going to stop talking about it because it is the largest issue facing the American culture, that we are allowing this to go on. It's like me sitting here and telling you the reason your basement is flooding is because your drain is plugged up. And you can get a washer, you can get another dryer, you can go get some other gadgets, you can do whatever you want to, but until you unclog that drain, there's going to be water in your stinking basement. And I'm telling you, until we stop the slaughter of the pre-born children, we are going to be facing what we are facing. If we do not shut off this valve of blood, innocent blood, there is no hope for us. And I'm sorry if you get sick and tired of hearing about it. It's real, brothers and sisters. This innocent blood is funding and feeding. I heard a guy say the other day, abortion is food in the demonic realm. I thought, boy, is that ever true. They eat blood. The spirit realm, we can't get it. We don't understand it. And here we are serving up the meal for them. And church people in particular don't even want to talk about it. If church people don't talk about it, who's going to talk about it? Huh? Go turn on Joel Osteen if you want to. Go turn him on. Go turn on your favorite happy talk guy. Go put on Paula White. They don't talk about it. Go put on T.D. Jakes. He won't talk about it. You come here, I'm going to talk about it. Cause and effect. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. We're killing babies. We're feeding the demonic realm. Okay? This young man made this video. It's a minute and 40 seconds. I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to have a little something to say about it. Hey, stay with me. We're going someplace today, okay? Go ahead and play that, Jared. An open message to Christians. I'm reading it for those who can't on the screen.
Hello, my name is Connor Haynes. I'm 16 Connor years Haynes. Old. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and an abolitionist of abortion. Many of you may have seen the video that took place in front of Downingtown STEM Academy, where a principal was yelling at me because I was exposing the injustice of abortion and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and I don't really care what you think about that video, but what I want to bring to your attention is, we are living in a Holocaust that has murdered 60 million human beings made in the image and likeness of God. Yet, we are being silent. I'm asking churches and Christians in Downingtown, in Chester County, in Pennsylvania, and all across America, what are we doing? How are we being salt and light in a society that murders 3,500 innocent image bearers of God every single day? Christians, please realize that we are living in the midst of a Holocaust. The time for justice is now. The time to love our preborn neighbors is now. The time to repent of our abortion apathy is now.
The time to repent of our abortion apathy is now. Because, see, it has far-reaching consequences. We don't even understand. The ones, the watchmen, the ones who are supposed to be watching for us, they don't even get it. Our pastors, our church leaders, our religious leaders have become apathetic towards the slaughter of unborn children, towards the slaughter of it. We had recently a friend of ours lost a baby. We called a miscarriage. And she's grieving. They're grieving over the loss of a little child at 7 weeks, maybe. They're grieving over it. Of the child that was created but never was able to come to life. They're grieving over it. And I said to my wife this morning, regarding that issue, well, think how much she'd be grieving if she let somebody go inside of her and pull that little thing out. And seeing our love, in our misguided love, we think it's loving and caring, excuse me, to permit a woman to have that done. We think a woman's going to go home, a woman who's been pregnant, going to go to an abortion clinic and have a baby pulled out of her and go home and not be impacted by it. That's what we think. When I see firsthand the impact of losing a baby through a miscarriage, I see the impact of it. That the mother knows something was growing in there and now it's not. And if a miscarriage makes you grieve, what must an abortion do? To the woman, do we love women? Do we talk about love so much. Do we love them? Do we love unsaved women enough to tell them no? It's like a drug. It's like cocaine. It's like heroin. It's like heroin. Well, the woman who picks up the crack pipe, she thinks it's going to make everything better for her. She totes on that crack pipe. I think I've never done it, but what it looks like, she totes on that crack pipe and she gets a euphoric reaction, and then she wakes up tomorrow and she has to have it again. She's been convinced that smoke and that thing's going to end all of her problems. The same thing happens when a woman walks into an abortion clinic. She thinks she's going to end all of her problems. Everything's going to be better. But when she walks out of that abortion clinic, having murdered her little unborn child, she knew she had a baby in her. She knew there was a life in her. And now she has to deal with that. What used to be alive, now dead. What used to be in there, not there anymore. And carry that with her every day. And we as loving Christians, we want to do what? We want to criminalize crack because it hurts people. But we want to legalize abortion because it doesn't hurt people. We know that's a lie. We know it's a lie. If we really loved women, we would make sure that abortion would be illegal. See, if we legalize crack cocaine, more people are going to smoke crack. We're legalizing pot. More people are going to smoke pot. I promise you that. We legalize abortion, more people are going to get abortion. We criminalize pot, be less pot smoking. We criminalize abortion, there'll be less abortion. Less abortions will be more children alive and less women grieving. See, we say at the abortion clinic, when a woman goes in there, one dead, one wounded. One dead, one wounded. And I know from seeing the reaction to a miscarriage, the woman knows. She knows. God help us, folks. How can we call ourselves Christians and not rescue, not help the women and children in their, the widows and children in their time of need? And if we realize this or not, a woman who is unmarried and is pregnant and goes into an abortion clinic, she might as well be a widow. Her man ain't no man. And it's our job to rescue her. Rescue the widows and the orphans. The child is an orphan. Its daddy's rejected it. We're supposed to rescue them. That is Christianity 101. What is wrong with us that we cannot see and understand the scourge that's going on around us? Not only does it violate the laws of Almighty God, let's take God out of the picture. Let's take God out of the picture. Let's just talk about a woman who goes in and kills a baby and wakes up the next day and realize that thing that was in her yesterday isn't in her anymore. And it isn't in her anymore because of what she did. Is that not the gospel? Is that not the gospel? To prevent her from hurting herself? Not only harming her children, harming herself. And if women have a choice, can they smoke crack? Why is there not a choice to smoke crack? Why can't they have all the heroin they want to? If it's all about choice and just doing what you want to, why? So I'm sorry. I'm going to keep harping on it. That's a little baby. That's a little baby. Anybody want to comment before I switch gears? I'm going to. Got 10 yeah, things to get on.
I'd like to say something, Coach. I've been a counselor for over 30 years, and some of the worst, it's some of the most painful things is talking with women who've had abortions 30, 40 years ago. There's still memories, and there's still pain and suffering in their heart for what they've done. Even though they've repented, and that's the beauty of, you know, Christ coming into their life, it's still a painful process because it's taking something out of you physically. See, we don't understand that there's a physical connection between the spirit and our physical bodies too. And all of this sex and everything that's going on, there's a connection there between your psychological, your physical, your mental, your spiritual. And we've got to realize it. It's very painful for women. And I'm one that says, if you need to preach this every time you're on for 5 minutes, do it, because the word has to be out there.
Amen, Mike. Amen. Amen. And see, we want Trump to end it. Pastors won't go out. Pastors aren't going to do anything. Let's get Trump to do it, right? Sure, get Trump. He'll do it. Oh, Trump didn't do it. Well, your pastor. You know, I need to beat up on pastors. Go to Luke 24 real quick. Luke 24, my wife gave me this. I said, honey, I need a scripture this morning, as she always does. She's sitting there reading her Bible as I'm doing show prep. She says, oh, here's a good one, honey. Luke 24. I want to show you something. You want to know why? The Bible is so simple, and Christianity is so simple. Just listen to this verse right here. Luke 24, verse 45. 24:45. In the Gospel of Luke, excuse me, Luke was a doctor. And so if you read Luke, you're going to find out Luke was a detail guy. He didn't put much emotion in what he said. He just was a detail guy. He just was recording what's going on. But I want you to see something that I think is critical, and you're going to show where we are losing the gospel again. Okay? Luke 45. This is after Jesus has returned, been crucified. He's back walking around. He's ready to leave. He's getting ready to leave. Verse 45, it says, let's start at verse 41, just cause Jared's up there. And while they had believed not for joy and wandered, he said unto them, hey, you guys got anything to eat? Where's the beef? Jesus says, And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it right in front of them. See, they wanted him to see. He wanted him to see he was a truly a resurrected guy, okay? They wanted him to see that. He took it and he ate it. And he said unto them, listen, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding. Wouldn't that be good? Have the Lord Jesus open your understanding, that they might understand the scriptures? And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Watch. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There's the gospel that should be preached. What? Repentance and remission of sin preached in all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Why? Jerusalem first, then Judea, your hometown first. You shouldn't be going to Guatemala if you don't go downtown in your own town. You understand? Jerusalem first, and then if you don't do it in Jerusalem, then you don't do it. Then you're not going to. You shouldn't be doing it anywhere else. My goodness, Doug Hagman, God bless you, man. You got up early this morning. I'm looking at you there, Doug. Thanks for joining us. I don't know how you got on there, but you're. We can't hear you because you probably are muted, but. All of America is looking at that ugly mug here early in the morning. Hey, Doug, thanks for being there, man. So, folks, listen, it's about for remission of sins, about repentance and the remission of sins. Why can't we get this? Why are we doing this prosperity gospel and all this other stuff that is bringing us nothing but false converts? Why are we doing this? Well, we've lost a bite, okay? Now, I'm going to show you something here. This is important, too. I appreciate when we hear from people who watch the show. I got two emails yesterday from a friend of mine, a ministry supporter of ours out in California. I think she lives in California. We were reading Romans 13 yesterday. You guys remember that? I was talking about Romans 13, and we're to obey the authorities and all that. Well, let's go down here, Jared. Let's go to, it says, just says me. Thank you for broadcast May 9th. Okay, guys, look, I want you to see this. This blew me away when this came to me. Watch what has happened to us, okay? This is Bible verses compared, okay? Romans 13 and the Authorized Version. Stay with me. You got to see what happens to us. Words mean things. Romans 1 and the Authorized Version. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. That's King James. Let everybody be subject unto the higher powers. Okay, let's go to the next one. Has yours been corrupted? Well, let's go to the new King James Version. Watch this. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. How about the NIV? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. How about the NASB? Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Obey the rulers who have authority over you. The NIRV, all of you must be willing to obey completely those who rule over you. Scroll down a second, Jared, if you would. Do you see what they've done to the word of God? Do you see how they said, be subject to the higher powers? Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. So what Paul's referring to here is to understand the spiritual hierarchy and that we're being subject to the higher power. Now, who is the higher power? Come on here, dudes. Come on. Are we supposed to obey unrighteous leadership? Come on, Doug Hagman. Are we supposed to be doing that, Doug? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our churches? We expect the ungodly to break the law. See, here's what's going on, folks. I hate to tell you this. No, I don't. I got to open your eyes to understand this, that the other side, the left, the God haters, are defying government everywhere we look. Sanctuary cities, immigration, pot. Everywhere you look, they are defying the government. And who is the only one following the government? Christians. We say, oh, well, that's the law. We have to follow the law. Not when the law becomes lawless. Not when we have a guy sitting in, dare I say it, the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who is, by his own words, he had to make the decision whether or not to, what was he say, to cover up. He didn't use that word. We're not getting truth. We are not getting truth. And so we are asking ourselves if we're supposed to be subject to the higher powers. Are you kidding me? Romans 13, that's what it teaches. Oh, well, I'm not done yet. Stay with me. Jared, pull up there the next one from that I sent to you. Let's see. What does it say? Man, Jared. More on Romans. Is that what it says, Jared? No. I sent you another one. Yeah, maybe that. There you go. There you go. Should Christians obey the government unconditionally? Jared, let's go down to about the fourth paragraph. I want to start in here real quick. I'm sorry, folks, if I got to read it. Sometimes people say it better than me.
Hey, Coach. Before you read that, let me interject this. Before you came on the queue this morning, I told the five of us that were there, I did a word study yesterday on that word ordained in that verse from Romans 13.
Good, yeah.
And guess what? That word, Greek word that was translated as ordained there, was only used twice in the entire Bible. And it doesn't mean put in place by. It means allowed to be.
Allowed to be.
God didn't put evil people in. People put evil people in.
Hey. Oh, my. Oh, so listen, stay here with me. That's good, Larry. When Paul writes in the opening statement of every soul be subject to the higher powers, the obvious question is who or what are the higher powers? That's the question we have to ask in this, right? Not the government authorities. He didn't say government authorities. This phrase would have to apply. Whoops, Jared, you knocked me off there. This phrase would have to apply to any higher powers, be they spiritual or earthly. Obviously, in the spirit realm, there are good and bad powers. On one side, we have the Lord and his great angelic host, and on the other group, we have find Lucifer and his angels. The two teams I'm always talking about, right? There are two teams. This fallen host most certainly qualifies as a higher power, for Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air. Later in the same book, Paul tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. Oh, my goodness. Keep on going, Jared. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Common sense tells you that Paul is not telling us to be subject to the satanic higher powers in the spirit realm. So why do we assume he's telling us to be subject to evil earthly powers? How could it be scriptural for us to cooperate with these earthly agencies of the spiritual wickedness? Huh? Can somebody answer that? The next verse says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and that they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. If we resist evil in the spiritual realm, it's clear we don't receive damnation. How then could this verse mean if we resist evil in the earthly realm, we receive damnation? In other words, in cases where the evil is vested in government, the idea that we are no longer to resist it is ludicrous. Paul is telling us not resist the righteous power of God, whether it's manifest in the heavens or in various earthly sectors, including righteous government. And while Pilate and Herod gave Jesus an order to speak, listen, when Pilate and Herod ordered Jesus to speak, the higher power, Christ resisted their order and remained silent. When Paul had been beaten illegally by evil men within the Roman government, he refuses their command to come out of jail and defiantly says, let them come themselves and fetch us out of here. You tell me that's not resisting? When Peter is assisted in his jailbreak by the angel, How is that obeying the government? Why didn't Peter just lay there and say, no, I'm not allowed to leave. Even though the doors are open and my shackles are off, I'm not allowed to leave because they've sentenced me here and I certainly don't want to break any more laws. Did the apostles receive damnation because he didn't ask the evil rulers, can I go now? The writer of Hebrews tells his readers, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You get that? Resisted unto blood? That firmly implies the Christians were appropriately resisting the evil, but every instance of that resistance ended in bloodshed at the hands of the authorities. Somebody say amen. Give me a thumbs up. Whom were they resisting? Hey, dudes. They were resisting evil authority. When Stephen was murdered, it was the religious leadership of the Jews that set up false witnesses to testify their unlawful crime. They even brought him before the high priest, who was in agreement with their heinous killing of the young Christians. When criminal elements have a position of control and authority within the government, believers have an obligation to resist them. Not to twist the scriptures into justification for compliance with an ungodly government. In Damascus, the Jews that held authority under the governmental edict, establishing their position, sought to murder. Scroll on down, Jared. They sought to murder Saul. Saul escaped over the wall as he left Damascus. That sounds like resistance to me. In Revelation, the true saints of God that opposed the Antichrist overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Antichrist heads the world government, folks. That's already in power in the form of the United Nations. Many say if and when the mark of the beast is installed, then I'll oppose the law. Oh, yeah? Well, at that point, it's too late. And if you're so blind as to continue to take part in the beast system in America now, what makes you think you'll have the guts to even recognize the mark system when it occurs? Amen. David gave us definite marching orders when he tells us to defend the poor and the fatherless. Did I just say that? To defend them, not feed them, defend them. Would that not include a baby that is murdered as he's trying to be born? Under the current law of what is called partial birth abortion, a doctor can legally murder a 9-month-old baby that's 25% out of the womb. Yet it's against the government's law to even protest this hideous crime within so many yards of the killer's medical facility. Okay, folks, where do you draw the line? Every true believer should have drawn the line years ago, but most go on citing Romans 13 with no understanding whatsoever. Soon they're going to hear another scripture, and it's going to say, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. On down, Jared. This is good stuff, isn't it? Give me a thumbs up, Larry. Somebody give me a thumbs up and reinforce me. Thank you. Makes me feel better now. And you gave me new jobs, a stranger, and took me not in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. This is more than a call to clarity. This is a directive to do the things Christ has told us to do, regardless of what the government tells you is legal or illegal. For example, a pastor in Southern California was recently brought up on charges for bringing poor and hungry people into his church to sleep because it was against the zoning laws. Pastor Wiley Drake, my friend. That's who they're talking about. He chose to obey God rather than man. In another example, the majority of states in America have enacted what they call hoarding laws, which make it illegal to possess too much food. Yet the Bible tells us there's a great famine coming. Verse, let's go down, I'm about done here. Man, we must always remember that our kingdom is not of this world. We become conformed to the ways of this world. How can we then be counted worthy of the kingdom of God? I'm down, Jared, I'm sorry. Now then can we become worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer? Are you suffering because you're resisting the kingdom of the Antichrist? Or are you committing spiritual fornication by living deliciously with the kingdom of the Antichrist? That's from James Lloyd. All right, boys. Somebody help me here. What do you think? Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty clear.
Yeah. We've been mistaught, haven't we? Huh?
You're right on. And isn't that what we find in history when true Christians stood up against the illegal authority and laws that were there? That things changed when they stood their ground, and they even suffered death to change it.
Amen. 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 So I'm going to make a transition here real quickly. What time is it? I got time.
Hey, I'm just going to say, touch something you said yesterday, I believe it was, or a couple of days ago when I was listening. You know, there's a lot of people in those churches out there that, man, they are all, their feet are in the starting gates. I mean, they're in the chocks on the track, getting ready to go do that 1,000-year reign with Christ. Now, all those people that want to do that 1,000-year reign with Christ, you better listen to Coach, because you know what it's going to take for you to be a part of that 1,000-year reign? You're going to have to sacrifice your head, because the people that have been headed for the cause of Christ are the ones that rule with him. Read it in Revelation. Don't take my word for it. Read it.
We have not yet resisted unto blood, man. We've not. Why would he put that in there, man? Wow. Hey, Jared, let's pull it up here. Hey, Doug, I'm popping the clutch here a little bit now. I'm getting ready to go. I'm going to try to bring this home to us, because we started out, we were talking about Comey, right? We were talking about James Comey. And there are still people out there, Christians. I'm talking to Christians. Now, I know there are non-Christians that are watching this, and you better be careful, because you're going to get hooked with a little bit of truth. But I know you're out there watching. I understand what's going on, but I want you to know this, that God is speaking, even though we're speaking to believers, there are many non-believers, but I want to share with you this idea that we are wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, that there is a new world order, that there is a shadow government, there is a deep state, whatever word you want to throw out there, it is real, okay? It is real. Now, hang on. I'm going to, Jared, pull up that JFK quote. You all remember him, don't you? John F. Kennedy. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes, hey, Doug, I'm a little different than you. You let everybody else talk. Even on my show, I do all the talking. So I'm sorry to dominate. It's just kind of the way we do it here. Jared, can you get that up there from, what's it say? It says JFK, Jared. Shoot that thing up there, because this is what John F. Kennedy said about 3 weeks before he was assassinated. Did you get that one, Jared? Maybe I didn't send it to you. Okay, hang on, buddy. I'm going to shoot it to you right now. I didn't. Yeah, I sent it to you. Yes, I did. It says, I'll send it again. Sorry, folks. Just kind of, we're amateurs here, the amateur hour. Okay, Jared, you should have it now. Should pop right up. This is what John F. Kennedy said weeks before he was killed. We know that he was going to try to do away with the.
Got it.
His eyes had opened to the Bay of Pigs, what was going on with the CIA. He said he's going to bust the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He's going to do away with the Federal Reserve. You guys are all aware of all that, right? I'm sure that you are, because we've spoken about it a number of times. But I want you to read what he said. And if, did it come to you, Jared?
Got it.
Okay, here we go. Okay, folks. This is what Kennedy, okay, follow along with me. This is his speech. You ready? Hey, you ready out there? For those who call us tinfoil hat folks, we don't know what we're talking about, and you look at what's going on with James Comey, do you for 1 minute think you could have done anything Hillary Clinton didn't got away with it? You think you could have done what John Podesta didn't get away with it? Do you realize that James Comey was standing guard at the door? Do you understand that? Do you understand there is a shadow government at work? Whether you want to believe it or not, there's two teams, the devil's team and God's team. And the devil's team's running everything, and God's team's in the church praying that we get out of here, praying for evacuation rather than occupation. Well, here's what President Kennedy said. Ladies and gentlemen. Oops, I lost all my screen there. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. We are people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, the secret proceedings. Time out. What do you think he's talking about? We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there's a little value, in assuring the survival of our nation. I'm going to read this again very slowly. 1963. Even today, there is little value in assuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. Time out. You're seeing that, Doug, huh? I don't know if we could get you up on here, Doug, but that's going on, right? They're trying to silence the Hagman and Hagman. They're trying to silence Dave Hodges. They're doing everything they can to keep the truth from getting out. Yes?
Yes, sir. I'm not sure if you hear me, but that's...
Yeah, we do hear you. Yes. Wow. This isn't just pie-in-the-sky stuff. This is 1963. He's warning this of it, okay? That I do not intend to permit to the extent that's in my control, and no, that I do not intend to permit, Kennedy says. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press or the public the facts they deserve to know. Boy, oh boy. For we are opposed around the world. Are you sitting down? Get your tinfoil hat on. But we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. Oh my goodness, is this prescient, huh? Oh my goodness. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. 1963, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 3 weeks before his death. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. And no expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, and no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I'm not asking your newspaper to support an administration, but I'm asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. Well, that was 1963. I don't know if I trust the people now or not. Dumbing down of the educational system. I not only cannot stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed. And no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. Can I get that? Can I say that again? If you knew to do good and you didn't do it, it's a sin. And not only that, it was a crime. That is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution. Not primarily to amuse or to entertain, not to emphasize the trivial, which, by the way, how about that? And the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crisis and our choices, to lead, to mold, to educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international wars, news, I'm sorry, for it's no longer far away and foreign, but it's close at hand and it's local. It means greater attention to improve the understanding of the news as well as improve transmission. And it means finally, the government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, to the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent. John F. Kennedy, 1963. Hey, Doug, if you can jump in here just real quick. Doug Hagman, the Hagman and Hagman Report. Just share, Doug, just briefly, the censoring, the blocking of news that you guys are seeing from your point of view.
No, thanks, Coach, for asking me. I'm just here to listen and learn. However, with respect to the censoring, you know, we've seen it on multiple venues or in multiple venues. For example, InfoWars lost $5 million in anticipated revenue that through the taking away of their ad company. We've done the same thing, of course, when we spoke out against homosexuality and abortion. We lost our one ad platform that was going to generate about $70,000 in 2015 in revenue. So we won't back away from that. Now, and this is public knowledge, I'm being personally sued, of course, for $10 million. Hang on a minute. Let me grab my wallet. Purveying essentially a number of things, but for purveying fake news, which, regardless of the merits of a lawsuit, you've got to defend against it, and of course, we're down $40,000 out of pocket.
That's part of their technique, isn't it, Doug? To sue a guy like you into submission.
Exactly.
Sue a guy like me into submission.
Yeah,
you don't have to be guilty. You got to defend yourself.
That's it. They come out, and there's no real hope of prevailing. It's just to bleed the person or entity dry. And that's, I was in Chicago this past weekend, and part of this, to shut us up about the abortion issue, or shut us up about the homosexuality or the pedophilia that's going on, they're pulling out all the stops. And I think that this Comey thing, the Comey takedown is part of that, whether that's to remove a blockage or perhaps to redirect something else.
Yeah, we don't know that yet. That's right. We don't know yet, do we?
Right. So all of this combined, and I think people are a little bit much naive, Coach, when they think that they're insulated from this themselves. Because you post something on Facebook, for example, your employer can fire you if you're, you know. So everyone is going to experience this, I believe, at some level. I'm not whining about my position or anything like that. It's just everyone has to understand that they're going to experience this, I believe, at some point in time. So we might as well stand up now. I'm here to learn how to play or go from playing defense to playing offense, coaching leadership.
That's what we're doing. And, you know, it's time to break up Google and Facebook and whoever. These are monopolies, right? These are monopolies. Think that we have Facebook, that everybody is social media, everybody goes on Facebook, to think that Facebook then gets to control who gets on and who gets to say what? Did they get to do that? Where do they get the authority to do that? See, to me, that's Standard Oil 100 years ago, right? Facebook needs to be broken up. Google needs to be broken up. They should not be able to do this. Open it up to the free market. But that's an entirely different debate. Anybody else in the queue want to jump in? Thank you for that, Doug. Thanks for that. Yes, Dylan.
Hey, Coach, you know what I'm thinking here is you know, with what JFK said, you know, he lists all these secret organizations, you know, working together, and he calls on, you know, the protected press and the First Amendment to help him expose that. And, you know, sure enough, one, not only is he assassinated shortly after, but two, those secret organizations, those world orders, that's probably when they said, well, we got to get the press under our wing now, because that's where he was going. Amen. For help.
And, amen, brother. Amen.
You couldn't have this same speech today where you call on the press, because the press is, you know, the mainstream media is a part of this secret organization, this global order.
They are, Dylan, they're more than a part of it. They are it. Well, the press is driving the agenda. Make no mistake about it. Press is doing it. It's not a free press anymore.
Yeah, and then, anybody who gives money to Google or Facebook, or who uses those platforms in such a predominant way as to provide them support, is, I totally agree with you, just supporting a complete monopoly on information.
So here we are doing Google Hangouts because it's a great platform to be able to do it, but they can at any time pull the plug on us. They are totally in control of everything we say. We say the wrong thing, boom, boom. Not only that, you end up in court defending yourself. Anybody else want to jump in here? We got 9 minutes. I got some more good stuff, but we got 9 minutes. I'd like to hear your reactions. I'm talking fast today. I don't know if you noticed that. Like a long way to go in a short time to get there.
You know, Coach, one more thing, if you don't mind. I really appreciated the beginning, too, of this segment, because I've always struggled when people would come to me and say, well, how could the founding fathers, how could all those people during the revolution be Christians when they were rebelling against the authorities in power? That's kind of always been something that when I've talked history with my friends, especially some that are more bent towards the way the church goes now, in their submission, that I've always struggled to argue with. But I really appreciated your thoughts this morning on that, because it's a good argument against why their rebelling against the authority was a good thing.
Well, Thomas Jefferson said that, somebody can probably get the quote, it just left my brain, that needs to be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Yeah. Now and then. The tree of liberty needs to be refreshed. Now, see, that makes us queasy because we don't want to go there, see? Have you noticed this? The other side kills. Have you picked up on that? The other side kills. And we want to be able to survive and we don't kill? Now, I'm not calling for killing, but we better open our eyes and see exactly what's going on. We are in a spiritual war that has manifested itself as a cultural war. That's exactly what's going on. And we are at a cataclysmic moment in American history. And if we do not go on the offense, we will not win. We will not win. Now, I'm going to say this again. I talked about this yesterday. Governor Matt Bevin in Kentucky has said abortion clinic, the only one left in the state of Kentucky, in Louisville, has to close because it violates health standards. The governor, the duly elected governor of Kentucky, said, close that place down. A federal judge steps in, says, no, you can't. We're going to go down there Saturday, and we're going to have a statement about it as well, because the judge has no authority over the state of Kentucky in regards to who lives and who dies. And I say it's time Kentucky became a sanctuary state for the preborn. That if you want your baby to be able to live, you come to Kentucky. It's a sanctuary state for unborn children. Now, playing off of that, isn't that exactly what the left's doing? The scriptures tell us, oh my goodness, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Wake up, folks. Lawlessness is abounding in the world because lawlessness is abounding in the church. The church is fully responsible for what's going on in the culture, and our refusal to do, as they said, make it a crime when you don't do what's right. Yes, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you started off today talking about the James Comey firing and all that. Well, you know, I've noticed over the years that the left, whenever they accuse somebody on the right of something, you can just about put to the bank that they are guilty of doing what they are accusing the person of doing. And thinking along those lines, didn't Comey just very recently, in front of testimony to Congress, I think it was, make some kind of reference to how when Loretta Lynch met with President Obama on that airplane on the tarmac in Denver, that it was a pivotal moment in Comey's thinking about the whole situation? Well, that got me to thinking the Comey situation at that moment. Now, Obama was not a stupid person, and he knew that he could not ever put it in writing to tell Loretta Lynch, hey, you toe the line. You make sure that there is no follow-up, no prosecution of Hillary whatsoever for any reason ever. And he couldn't put that in writing, so they had to find a way for him to tell her that to her ear where nobody else had any inkling of an idea of what he was saying. So that's what the meeting in Denver was all about. And I do not doubt that Loretta Lynch had the same conversation with James Comey immediately afterwards in an environment where it would never be known that she uttered those words. And I tell you what, James Comey was following his marching orders from that moment on.
I'm with you, Larry.
Larry, you meant Bill Clinton, not Obama, correct?
Yeah, right.
Larry.
Oh, was that Bill Clinton?
That's Bill Clinton.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know that, but that pivotal moment in Comey's mind, anytime people on the left start accusing and mentioning stuff and trying to throw aversion on others, look at what they're talking about, because that is pivotal in their own activities.
What's that saying I learned when I was a kid? Yeah, so's your old man. Right? That's exactly what's going on. They're doing the exact same thing. A little bit of local flavor here for those of you who live in Ohio. James Comey's son goes to Kenyon College up in Gambier, Ohio, up at Mount Vernon, plays basketball at Kenyon College. Is that something? You know, James Comey's like 7 feet tall, 6'7", something like that, right?
Hey, Coach.
I don't know what it has to do with anything. Go ahead. Yes.
You know, one thing I've noticed that we've talked about on this show, too, is the changing of our education system and the changing of our history. One thing I've noticed in my lifetime is that the Civil War, it was no longer about states' rights. It was about slavery, and it was only about slavery. I've always wondered what the point of that was. Why make that drastic change? And it's because when these federal judges come in and overrule a state's right, man, we don't look at that as reason for civil war anymore, because they've taken that away from us.
Hey, Doug, look what we're raising up here, man. We're raising up some young guys that get it. See, this is what we got to do. And once we begin to produce truth and get truth to young kids, I've said this. Listen, don't miss this. Oh, my goodness. Deep in the heart of every teenage 20-something guy is a spirit of rebellion. They love to fight authority. Tune in, turn on, drop out. Four dead in Ohio. Make love, not war. And if we can begin to get into the heart of young Christian men and women, this counterculture Christianity, then it's time for Christianity to begin to go against the flow, to realize that even the dead fish float downstream. When we can get Christian kids to stand up and resist the evil, we're going to be on to something, baby. We are going to be on to something. And I'm telling you, before this whole thing comes apart, Doug and Sarge and Larry, before this whole thing comes apart, we are going to see a Christian arise and push back like we have never seen in this nation. I'm telling you, that is the heart and that is the root of the Trump movement. Not him being the great Christian leader, but the heart of the people remembering righteousness and legal laws being enforced. People remembering what it used to be. And they want that for their children and their grandchildren. And that's why I say every day on this program, Donald Trump will never make America great again. Only the church can do that. Only Christians. Only me as a Christian man and you as a Christian man and your friends as Christian men. Only we, by doing what we read earlier here in Luke 24. Are you ready? Repentance and remission of sin should be preached
unto all nations. Until the church returns to that, we ain't got a hoot in hell in turning these things around. But if we do, there's a chance for some good things to happen. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us today. And we'll be here tomorrow. I promise you, I'm going to tie a bow around all this stuff. I'm going to connect all this stuff. I'm going to show you the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm going to show you how they've infiltrated and what they're doing and why this mess is going on. And the tentacles that you are going to see are going to blow your mind. And know this.
Good morning.
Jesus is the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. Jesus is a soon coming King. He's still on top of this whole thing. Let's not lose our faith. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.